I'm Kim.
And I'm Danae. Welcome to Mysterious Mavens Podcast.
We are a true crime podcast, but we also like spooky things.
Spooky things.
But most of all, and I mean most of all, we like self-care for yourself.
For yourself.
I'm trying to like, last night I was thinking of it, of like what I could do to sing. And you know, I think we're just going to do the self-care just in a higher voice, you know?
Sure, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sounds
going to happen.
What did you do for your self-care?
This week, yesterday, I went out with Jess, and I finished shopping for Keith.
Nice.
Which he is by far the hardest person in the world to shop for.
Yeah, men are always the hardest.
Yeah, and he'll like ask for something and I'll get him that thing and he'll be like, he won't wear it. And I'll be like, oh,
why aren't you wearing for this?
Oh my God, he asked for like... One year, he was like, I really want a purple and black flannel to wear to Rockies games.
Oh, yeah. I remember you buying that.
And searching everywhere for it. He never wears it. And I see it.
Did you guys go to a Rockies game, though?
No.
Well,
he doesn't wear it to Rockies games either.
I would be too hot to wear to a Rockies game.
A nighttime game, though. I went to a game like my dad, my brother, and Steven, and... It was so cold.
Really?
And I was wearing like a jacket and my dad was having a rough time. So I gave him my jacket. I was so cold. But Steven's like, and I was like shivering to Steven. Steven's like, ask for it back. And I was like, do you know how many times that man has suffered being cold because of me? And he was like, okay. And then I just suffered through it. And I was really glad I did. My dad wasn't feeling super great that day. So I was just like, here's my jacket.
Here you go, daddy.
Jacket for Jack. So, but we had a lot of fun. There was, we went to a craft fair, much like we're doing later tonight. And, we just went to Southlands and just, there was a lot of good sales because it's like Black Friday.
Oh yeah. Saturday, like the weekend of Black Friday or whatever.
Yeah. It was so crowded.
Like, what were the discounts? Were they like good ones? Cause I hate when they're like Black Friday sale, 10%. Like, what the fuck is that?
I'm like, I'll just pay more and not deal with crowds.
10%. That's not even a discount.
Victoria's Secret had 40% off.
Okay. That's a good deal.
And I've been needing new bras. So
perfect.
I went there and got some new bras. But other than that, and Bath and Body Works wasn't having they were doing their like 3-wick candles situation that they do like throughout the year.
Oh yeah, like the $12.99.
I bought a flannel smelling candle. I had to.
Yeah.
I smelled
it. Did it smell good?
Oh my God, it smells so good.
Okay.
And I went and got that and yeah. It was, I don't know. I got Keith done. Most people in my family are done. There's just a few stragglers. Annette, if you're listening, send me a list. My God.
Oh my God. Yeah, I haven't started any shopping.
Yeah.
Well,
today.
I've started thinking about what I want to get Ronan, but that's about it.
Yeah. And with Ronan, you don't really have to get him much.
No.
Just, it's like when he knows.
Yeah.
But you obviously want to get him something to open. But I'm like, you're at the peak time where you can get him like a thing and be like, there you go, bud.
Yeah, exactly.
So what did you do this week for self-care?
This week for self-care, I went and hung out with my besties, Allie and Corey, yesterday, and we had a craft day.
What'd you do?
So we made doormats for like outside that look like little gingerbread houses.
Oh, cute.
Yeah, super cute. And then we made our snackle boxes, those little boxes downstairs.
Oh my God, I love them.
Yeah, they're so cute. So it was fun. It was good to like hang out with them, and we like ate snacks and had some wine and just... did our crafts, and it was really fun.
That's really nice.
Yeah.
I love doing that.
We always, like, over, like, think, we're like, we're gonna do this, and this, and then we end up only doing, like, two things. So next time we'll paint our wine glasses, because that was another one that we were gonna do, but we just didn't have time.
It's hard to, like, But it's good to have like a bunch of ideas because then you can decide to be like, what do you guys actually feel like doing today?
Yeah.
So that's awesome.
Yeah. So it's good. Good bestie time.
That's nice. I'm still dealing with Keith not being home. So
when does he get home?
He gets home Wednesday.
Oh, it's like a full week.
More than a week. He left Tuesday morning.
Oh.
It's been fun. I've been talking to the dogs.
Cuddling with the dogs.
Cuddling with the dogs. Looking at the dogs.
And dang, also, that sucks.
I've been watching Based on a True Story season 2.
Oh, me too. I just like started watching season 1 and then I just started.
Oh my God.
Are you, I like binged it.
Are you in love with it?
It's so weird.
I love it.
I'm like, what is happening?
It's so weird, but it's so great.
Yeah, I like it. I like it a lot.
I think I got through like half of season 2 yesterday. It's so easy to just sit there and
it's
watch.
It's easy to binge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Kaylee Cuoco is like my favorite person in the world.
I love her.
I love her facial expressions.
She's great.
You kind of remind me of her.
Oh, thanks.
It's a compliment. I love her. So,
well, what are you going to tell me about today?
So today I'm going to tell you, I feel like my past few stories have been like kind of more known, maybe not Jason Landry, but I just found a serial killer named Ed Edwards.
Ed Edwards. Oh my God.
Edward Wayne.
Why would you do Edwards. That to your child? Why? Why?
Well, like, they didn't.
They didn't name him Ed Edwards?
No, I'll tell you the story.
Okay.
I know. I saw your face go, what? That's confusing. All right. So I used a lot of good sources, and I really want to shout out the Crime Reel YouTube, because a lot of the sources were really great, and they gave good information, but the Crime Reel, like, kind of gave a play-by-play of where he was at certain times, because that was hard to...
Okay, yeah.
That part was really hard, and, like, shout out to them. They were on YouTube, and they have a podcast, but they, like... Thank God for them, because I was like, I can't keep up with this, and I was about to be like, I can't do this one, and then... I listened to them and I was like, oh my God. Okay, good. This is like.
Cleared it up for you.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
All right. So Ed Edwards was born in Akron, Ohio in 1933. He was initially born as Charles Murray.
Okay.
Yeah. It was like, it all cleared up in the first sentence to a single mom. He never knew who his dad was. And nobody else knew who his dad was either. It was like probably her took it to the grave. So, when he was the age of one, his 23-year-old mother was arrested and sent to jail for stealing $100. And, like, in the 30s...
For jail? They sent her to jail for that?
Yeah, but in the 30s,
I mean,
sure,
I guess $100 in the 30s is, like, a
probably
lot.
Around 1,000, yeah. So, during the time she was in jail, it was for 14 months. He ended up living with her sister and her husband. And they kind of became, like, surrogate parents to him a little bit. So, and you'll see why. So, 3 years later, his mother passed away from a self-inflicted gunshot wound due to a potential partner leaving her.
Oh, no.
She was so upset about it. She ended up, like, shooting herself.
Oh,
and he was basically an orphan by the age of 5. Oh, so he was around 5 at this time. And her sister took him over again. However, at the age of 7, she was bedridden because she had multiple sclerosis. And unfortunately, her husband, like his stepdad kind of thing.
Wait, when he was 7?
When he was 7. Yeah, the aunt.
MS?
Yeah, so his mother had passed away when he was 5. And at 7, he was like living with his aunt. All was good. And then she got multiple sclerosis and she was pretty much bedridden.
Oh.
And the stepdad was an alcoholic. So
good.
He wasn't like...
Just
really,
a really
doing so
great
well.
Childhood for him.
So he ended up going to an orphanage.
Oh my God.
And he was raised in an orphanage. And in his autobiography, he's like, I really didn't have parents. And I'm like, well, that's kind of unfair, but
he has
whatever.
An autobiography. Okay.
Oh, we'll get into that.
All right.
Don't you worry. I'm not going to be like, oh, so he had a autobiography. All right. Have a good night, everyone. Right. We'll get into it. It plays a big role in this.
Okay.
So. To me, it sounded like a Catholic orphanage, not that it matters, but there was nuns there, and he said that the nuns were, like, horrifically abusive, and so were the other boys that were there. But I wonder if it was, like, a reformatory kind of orphanage. I don't really know. So, when he was 11, the nuns at his school asked him what he was going to be, and he said verbatim, "Sister, I'm going to be a crook, and I'm going to be a good one." So, obviously, he didn't really have a good upbringing.
He had goals.
Yeah. I want to be a veterinarian when I was 11. That's so
hilarious.
You know, oh my God. Differences.
At least he was honest with us.
I mean, you got to give the guy credit there. So at the age of 12, he moved back with his grandmother and his adopted mother, his birth mother's sister. And at the age of 36, she ended up passing away.
Oh, no.
So he wasn't a good kid. And at the age of 12, he started doing petty crimes. He was stealing bicycles and he was going door to door collecting money for sick individuals and stuff like that. But obviously he was pocketing it. Oh, wow. He was constantly in and out of juvenile detention. And he was also, and he was just constantly in and out of jail too in his life. But right when he turned 17, he was able to leave juvie because he signed up for the U.S. Marine.
Oh.
And he was really hoping he could go to Korea. And turns out, when you're 17, you can't do combat.
Oh, he, like, wanted to fight? Like, he was like, let's get violent.
Yeah, I mean, if you got rage.
I mean, that's one way by to all get means. It out, I guess.
Yeah, so, but pretty much.
So, did he just, like, wait a year and then they let him go into combat or what?
Or they were just, I'll like, tell you no? what happens. You'll know what happens. Okay. So, after he finished boot camp, he pretty much went AWOL.
Oh, God.
He didn't really want to be in the Marines is what it sounded like.
Okay.
And
he was like, this is a good idea on paper. Actually, I hate it here.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah,
I think a lot of people do that. They're like, oh, I have to follow rules.
Oh, it's really hard. Like,
yeah, that's why not everyone does it.
Yeah.
But he wore the uniform around and he walked around boasting about his time in Korea.
Dude.
You know, oh being a lying God. Liar.
And wow. Who does that? That's so messed up.
I know.
Like, how disrespectful to people who are actually service people. Like,
that's what serious? I was saying earlier. Like, remember earlier I was like, I'll get into that.
Oh my God.
So at this point he was cashing random checks, like writing them out and cashing them.
Yeah, back in the day you could just do that.
Yeah, and he even stole a car and he was able to get away with stuff because with the uniform there's a level of trust people have with you. They're like, sure. Oh, a uniformed young man. Right? He wouldn't lie to us.
Oh, my God. That's so messed up.
So he obviously used it to be like, I fought in Korea, and also I'm a trustworthy man. Trust me.
That's like when people wear, like, police uniforms and shit. Like, fucked up.
It's so gross. It's so gross. So after he stole the car, he was dishonorably discharged from, like, the whole going AWOL thing didn't do it for you. It
didn't go well.
Yeah, so they were like, all right, well, that was enough.
Yeah.
And, yeah, he went to prison in 1951, and he had a 5-year suspended sentence, which basically means, like, he was probably on probation. I didn't really, like, search
Wait,
that,
why but
I was, like...
why did he go to prison?
He went to prison for stealing a car.
Oh, for stealing a car.
And
he was
also... and the fake checks and stuff.
Oh, got it. So, it then, finally caught up to him. Okay.
Yeah, so the car really got him dishonorably discharged, and it also got him sent to prison.
Gotcha.
So, when he got out of prison for the next year or so, he kept wearing the fucking uniform, and he would defraud God. By still cashing bad checks... And he would still steal cars.
So he's just back at it.
Yeah. Like he didn't learn
Nothing
anything.
Nothing changed.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And he was also defrauding women as well. It didn't really get into like what he was doing to defraud women, but I'm guessing like.
Probably steal their money. Steal their checks.
But yeah, defrauding women, probably stealing money and then being like, I'm a uniformed man. Sleep with me, ladies. But it got so bad. The stolen valor that the FBI got involved because he didn't learn like and also like he was stealing money and stealing cars and defrauding people and wearing that and the FBI is like, all right, we're gonna get involved. And he got arrested for impersonating a uniformed officer and like a government employee, something kind of like to that degree. And during that time he got sentenced to 2 years and he went to Pennsylvania for prison and he got out in 1954.
Okay, so he's not doing a good job of being a
he's
good
crook.
He's
20 fucking one.
Oh, wow.
I know. This sounds like somebody you're like, oh, he's probably in
it
his 40s.
It reminds me of, like, Catch Me If You Can, but it's like he's bad at it.
I called it the shitty Catch Me If You Can.
Yeah, like he's, like, trying to do that same thing, but he keeps, like, getting caught. And it's like.
Well, that guy in Catch Me If You Can, yes, he was doing stuff illegal. Yes, it wasn't great, but he wasn't, like, ruining lives or along the way.
Like,
he was
killing
just
people
being
or anything.
A,
He was just kind of a menace to society.
Yeah, just a little bit of a menace and, yeah. You know, pretending to be things. Yeah, I literally was giggling as I was researching this. I was like, this is shitty. Catch me if
you can. Yeah, he's like trying so hard, but like not doing well.
Not at all. So he went back to Akron, Ohio, and he actually ended up being a hero.
What?
There was a hotel fire and he evacuated everyone and saved a lot of people from the fire.
Okay.
So that was a nice little change from the bad stuff. But if you've learned anything from movies and stuff, when somebody gets in trouble and then suddenly like they're in the paper for being a hero, they're like, this is not great. Because he just wanted to like
disappear into the crowd.
Well, he wanted to still be bad.
Yeah. And it's not doing well for him to be like,
shit, I did
his
good.
His face is everywhere. They're like, a hero. He's like, no, I'm trying to do crime, you guys.
Guys, let me do my crimes. God,
now everyone knows my face.
Now I'm pissed as hell. So he went to Jackson, Florida, and he spent some time in Jackson, Florida before. So he was, during this time, it was really confusing what his timeline was, but I'm going to break it down a little bit more because it's more established as he got older. But he at one point was in Jackson, Florida. So he goes back and he was caught for other crimes, like probably like stealing cars and like
in Florida or checks. He went back to Ohio.
He was just going all around.
Okay.
He was in Ohio, went back to Florida. He made stops in Denver and Dallas as well. And I'm like, of course he fucking was in Denver at one point. Everyone has to. If you're a criminal and you don't go to Denver, did you actually commit crimes? Probably not. Anyways, so he in Florida, he went back. Who knows what he was doing in the meantime? He lied on a resume and he actually got a job as a private investigator. And during this time, he met an 18-year-old and he ended up having an affair with her.
Oh, Jesus.
And at this point, he was like in his early 20s. And the 18-year-old was actually married to a 71-year-old.
Ew.
And she had a child with him. And he ended up taking her back to Akron, Ohio with him.
And the kid, too?
Brought the child with her. So then because of this, he got arrested. She got back sent back to Jackson with the kid. I'm sure there was like a kidnapping charge of some sort.
Sure, like
she was an adult, but like the kid she brought with her wasn't. So he was back in prison again.
Oh my God.
It doesn't really clarify, but I'm like, I'm assuming it's a kidnapping charge of certain
some sort,
extent. So he ended up escaping from prison.
Oh.
When he got sent to prison. And how did he do that, right? This guy's very smart, unfortunately. And he noticed that the payphone for the prison was located next to a courtroom. Mm-hmm. And the courtroom led outside. So he was like, hey, prison guy, prison guard, can I use the payphone? And the prison guard was like, by all means. So he pretended to call, make a call. And when the prison guard was distracted, he ran through the courtroom and ran outside and escaped.
Oh, so wait, the payphone was in the courtroom?
It was next to the courtroom.
Okay.
And he could see if the courtroom was empty. And when it was empty, he ran through it and then like went outside.
Okay.
And he went right back to Florida.
Okay.
So he ended up obtaining a fake. I'm telling you, this story's all over the place because I know I'm seeing your head spinning. Same.
Yeah.
So he ended up obtaining a fake social security card of a former Army veteran while he was in Florida. And keep in mind, at this point, he's 22.
Okay.
So we're not dealing with this guy who's like in his 30s or 40s, which it kind of sounds like it was. But also, catch me if you can, he was also like a young, young age.
Yeah.
But he ended up wanting to be a potato farmer.
What?
And where do you go to get the best potatoes?
Idaho.
Idaho. So he went to Idaho.
What?
I know. He's like, in Florida, got the fake ID.
Yeah.
And like, he's like, you know what? I should be a potato farmer.
Potatoes. I mean, I shall be a potato farmer. Like, what?
Who doesn't love potatoes?
Such a random career path, but okay. Potatoes.
You know what? It's the gift that keeps on giving. So he ended up meeting an 18-year-old female, Jeanette White.
He likes him young.
And marrying her.
Okay.
And it seems she didn't mind his criminal past because they actually referred to themselves as James and Jeanette Lanely. And he was stealing from gas stations. He suddenly liked doing armed robbery.
Like they changed their names or what do you mean?
Yeah, they went by Lanely. He wasn't Ed Edwards and she wasn't Jeanette White or
they
Jeanette
just like made up
Edwards.
A last name?
Yeah, you could do that in the 50s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No one asked questions.
And he was like doing armed robberies at gas stations.
Oh my God.
And there was one in Billings, Montana that they did. And they started doing armed robberies at like all these gas stations, mostly in the Pacific Northwest, but then there was in some in California. Okay. I am telling you, they are they all over the fucking place. Are they
also potato farming though? Or no? Did that even happen?
He gave up potato farming to be a criminal.
Okay, I wasn't sure if he even
he was a crook and a started good one.
The potato farm or if that was just met her
while he was being a potato farmer, and who knows how long he did that. Okay. And then he was
like, this is hard. Let's go back to crime. Let's
go to armed robberies.
I actually have to work at this. Like,
I hate it. I'm tired. My arms are tired, Grandpa. That's too damn bad.
Too damn bad.
So they did a lot of armed robberies in the Pacific Northwest, Washington, Portland, and they did quite a few in California and again, Montana.
Okay. So and it's like a crime couple now.
When they were caught, Jeanette was actually released and she still kind of stood by Ed.
Okay.
It was like, I love him. And like they, while they were like holding arms, they sentenced him to 10 years and she ended up being able to go back home.
So since he would like had a new name and stuff, they had no idea about his past crimes, right?
Yeah.
So that's why the
well, they didn't have a database.
Yeah, they didn't have like any information on all the other bullshit he'd been doing. Like
this man, well, and also if you remember, he got a social security card of a different person.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So during that time, after a few years, she was like, I'm actually going to divorce him. And at that point, she was pregnant with his kid and she married someone else. And she just raised the kid with the new husband. And
well,
Ed Edwards got out of paying child support. So.
Well, he was in jail, right? Still at that point?
Yeah, but he was only in jail for 3 years and he was sentenced to 10.
Oh, wow.
And he was in a Montana penitentiary. And that didn't sound right. It's fine. And he was released in 1959. So at this point, he is 26.
Okay.
And he ended up going to Oregon and having to serve time for an outstanding armed robbery charge. And it doesn't seem like he did actually end up spending any time there. It was just they were like, well, you're going to do court here. And he didn't really end up spending any time in jail.
Huh.
And he got a 5-year supervised parole charge and he ended up moving to Washington right away.
Damn, so he just keeps doing shit and keeps getting caught and it's just like,
and then moving away. Yeah.
Like, dude.
And he ended up meeting a 17-year-old Marlene Hayward and he met her at the end of 1959.
Okay.
So quickly that happened and she believed he was an undercover agent for the CIA. And thought that he was really cool. And they ended up getting married in 1960.
Sweet child.
Well, he told her that.
Oh, my God.
They were like, she was pretty naive. And I'm like, well yeah. Fucking clearly.
17.
So, not long after this, there was a group of onlookers for a Lover's Lane murder. Really? There were 2 19-year-olds who were murdered. And the woman had gone missing at the scene of the crime. He had been shot in the head. The woman had gone missing, but they also assumed she had been murdered. And they did find her, like, later on.
Oh.
But people questioned why he was there, but he was basically like, oh my gosh, I'm here because, like, there was a crowd. And I was like, what?
Oh, so he was at the crime scene?
Mm-hmm. And they were like,
Wait, at the crime scene or where she was found?
At the crime scene.
Okay.
Like, after it happened. Oh. It was just, like, a note, like, the girl had gone missing, but they found her later, okay, and they were hoping she made it out.
And they're just like, why are you here? And he's like, well, I just saw a crime happen. Because
he had charges against him, and they're like, he's a criminal. Why are you here?
Yeah.
You know? And he's like, oh, my gosh. Not long after that, he did a thing where he just called a false fire alarm because he thought it was funny to watch people freak out.
Dude.
And then that violated the parole he was on because, yeah, if you like, remember, he was on doing? The 5-year parole. And he went to jail.
Just, like, try to be chill.
And when he was, like, getting booked in jail, they noticed he had a bullet wound.
Oh.
Like, in his hand or his arm area.
Okay.
What's and that from? They were like, that's new and that's really weird. And they asked him about it. And he just kept giving different stories of what happened. Like, at one point, Marlene was cleaning a gun and she accidentally shot him. And he was cleaning it, you know, like, just stupid stories. And they're like, that sounds upsetting.
Hmm.
So this guy was very smart, and I hate that I say that.
Is he, though?
But he wanted to find a way to get out of jail. So he had one of, and because he went to jail, if you remember, because he was on the parole.
Right.
And you're not supposed to like be a little menace to society while you're on parole.
Right.
You're supposed to be like.
Like be good.
Cross your T's and dot your I's and.
Yeah.
You know.
Keep it together.
So he called Marlene. He was like, I have an idea to get me out of jail. I need one of your friends to pretend to be my parole officer and say that I'm no longer on parole and I should be released.
And they don't have like any records to back that up. They're just like, okay, sounds fine. Bye.
You know, talk shit about computers, but thank God we have databases.
Like, what?
So they called and were like, yeah, no, he's not on parole anymore. That ended. So he needs to be released. And they were like,
okay.
Yes, sure he does.
You were correct. We won't ask any more questions. Bye. Like, what?
Yeah. So he got released from prison.
Oh, my God.
It was so easy to be a criminal back then. Isn't the story so upsetting and frustrating?
It's like, what? No one gives a shit. You could just literally say anything to anyone. People are like, okay.
While researching this, the dogs were like, okay, psycho, calm down. Because I was like, are you serious? So he ended up leaving Washington and he, you know, got out of the prison. And the police were still curious about the double murder at the Lover's Lane. So they kind of like were like, that's just really weird that this guy's doing all these things and he just so happened to be there. So they actually ended up sending a warrant for his arrest for that because they were just like, they didn't have anything. And they were like, he probably wasn't a looky-loo. I don't know. Their hackles were up.
Huh.
But when they found the female, she was also shot too. And it was kind of, I think it was the same gun he had used in armed robberies. So I don't know. And the bullet wound in his arm also had
them. They had some shit kind of tying him back.
Yeah, it was just kind of more of a like hunch at that point. But they were like, you know what? This guy has a rap sheet. He keeps going to prison. He's being weird. He was seen at the scene of the crime. And then he had a mysterious bullet wound in his arm.
Mm.
And like both of the Lover's Lane people were shot with the same gun of the wound in his arm.
Huh.
So he ended up working as a supermarket manager in another state and they were just not able to find him. So he ended up just being on the FBI's most wanted list. And they had him as Edward Wayne Edwards because he had escaped prison so many times. And they were also looking just like all those reasons, like him escaping prison, whatever.
Yeah.
So he ended up going to Houston. And he ended up stealing another car and he went to Minneapolis.
Dude. Like, what?
Do you see why this is a hard one to nail down? Because like, he went all over the place.
Keep it together, man.
Which is like Houston to Minneapolis. That is such a long trip and that is so opposite states.
Like, well, and it's so random that he's doing like burglaries and like armed robberies. And then he goes to killing some random lovers. Like, what?
I also thought that was it a little bit of a stretch. It just feels like
weird.
But like, I think him being there.
Because what was does he suspicious? Gain from that? You know, like at least the other things, it's like he's trying to get like money. He's stealing a car. Like he's like gaining something that he wants from doing those crimes. But like, what are you gaining from killing people?
I thought it was like, a it stretch too.
Like it fits his like.
Yeah. But at the same time, it was just him being there was weird was and weird. Suspicious. Yeah. And I mean, we didn't see him at the scene of the crime, so he could have been like really weirdly like asking questions. Sure. And I'm thinking, because I was like, that's a stretch. And I was like, but he could have been really weird.
Was he trying to like rob them? Like, you know, like
maybe.
It just seems strange that he goes from like robberies to just murder some random fucking people.
It would be, it'd be good if we could ask, because I'm wondering if it was a robbery, because he's not above armed robbery.
Yeah.
He did at gas stations.
Right.
So that's what I'm wondering. But also like, I thought it was a stretch, but I'm like, we also didn't see him at the scene of the crime. And he could have been just being fucking suspicious. So anyway, so he was in Houston and now he's going to Minneapolis and he just started a psychiatry.
Like a degree?
Practice.
What?
He just opened one up and he pretended to be a psychiatrist.
With no credentials.
Cool, and his wife was working at like the, she was being like the front desk at a auctioneer office.
Okay. Wait, and is this a new wife or is that the ex-wife?
It's the 17-year-old. It's Marlene.
Oh.
The current wife that he like met in Washington.
Oh, married. Okay.
So I think patients were finding it really weird that he was just prescribing stuff just here and there. He's like, here you go. Here's that.
What
Ritalin, by all means. He was like prescribing people stuff for everything. How did he
get a doctor's like prescription thing?
I am so curious about that too. Right? And I tried to look into that. I was like, what? But I'm wondering if in the 50s he was just able to make a fake one.
No, maybe.
He probably like found a printing friend and they like made him a fake. Wow. They didn't have a database to check into this shit.
Oh my God.
So yeah, he was like just handing people pills. He's like,
just do some pills about it. Here you go.
And one of the patients thought that was really weird and they had their hackles up as well. And they saw a handgun in his office. Oh my God. And dude, they also saw a healed over wound in his hand that they had heard. There was a guy that was like on the run named Edward Wayne Edwards. And he knew this patient was on him because the patient was like, huh. So before the patient could like go and call the police, on her lunch break, Edward's like, we gotta go. So he grabbed all his things, went and picked up Marlene from on her lunch break, and they left. And they escaped before they were able to get caught because the patient was asking too many questions. And he was like, oh my God, they're on to me. Because they're like, oh, that's weird. You have a gunshot wound. There's this guy that's on FBI's most wanted list. Oh my God. Yeah. And they actually ended up going to Minneapolis and asking people that were his patients. They were like, is this the man you're looking for? Yes. And they were like, yeah, that's him. Yep. They're like, that is definitely Edward Wayne Edwards. So he goes back to Ohio. And at this point, he's like, well, it's worked before. So he went to a car dealership and he like test drove a car. And they said he went to the bank and they didn't really clarify. So I'm wondering if he did armed robbery or cashed bad checks. But he actually ended up getting $7,700. How much do you think that would be in today's money?
From his robbery, that's how much he got?
Yeah, $7,700.
Oh, God. And this was like in the 50s?
Yeah.
Or 60s?
50s, 60s, yeah.
I don't know. $15,000?
70.
70?
Yeah, that's how much it was in today's money.
Oh shit. Okay, yeah. Damn.
So I'm thinking he did armed robbery, but that part wasn't clear. It's just he went to the bank and then he like left with this amount. And I'm like, well, did he leave with a gun or did he leave with...
Yeah, you can't just like leave with a certain amount. Yeah. Like,
so I didn't know if he forged checks or if he did an armed robbery. So him and Marlene ended up fleeing to Atlanta, Georgia. And they ended up just using public transportation. And I thought that was really risky because he's still on the FBI's.
Or noticed him?
Yeah, because he was already on the FBI's most wanted list, and now
people are just like minding their fucking business.
Yeah, and he's actually kind of in some pictures. He's actually like a pretty attractive looking man.
Okay.
At like certain, like, you know how some pictures are like, oh, they're good looking, and then others are like, oh, but there was like a lot of pictures of him. I was like,
okay. Ed Edwards.
Which,
well, and some,
I think you would have to be kind of good looking to get away with that kind of stuff.
Right. And he could probably easily like hide his like hand wound or whatever, you know, just wear a jacket or something.
Gloves.
Yeah.
Could be cold in Atlanta. Who knows? Oh, God. So, yeah, they ended up using public transportation, which I'm like, risky. So he thought it was kind of funny because when he was on the train, he saw somebody reading a magazine called True Detective, which had his story featured on it.
Oh, my God. And they didn't even notice him?
Didn't even notice.
Wow.
So when you're trying to, like, lay low, what are some things you wouldn't do?
I don't know. Nothing showy. You probably don't want to draw any sort of attention to yourself.
So you wouldn't want to, like, just spend extravagant amounts of money, right?
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me?
So he's Ed, like, let's Edwards spend this 7, did the most opposite thing anyone should do. And he acted like a big shot. He bought a pink Cadillac.
A pink Cadillac?
Like, when people buy cars like that, it's like, hi, police, pull me over.
Yeah. Like, no one has pink Cadillacs.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
And why? He was buying.
Is it from Arlene?
Probably because, like, they stole all that money and they're like, let's spend it like crazy.
That's ridiculous.
So, he bought a pink Cadillac and he was buying all these, something like, high-end clothing. Something
way out. Like, come on.
And he was, like, would go into bars and buy everyone a shot of whiskey.
Dude, keep it together.
And, like, the person he bought the pink Cadillac was from was like, yeah, he was a recently freshly discharged Marine.
Oh, my God.
So he's still sticking with that story. This dude,
like, does not know how to, like, have any chill.
So they were able to find him by chance when this part was also kind of confusing to me. Somebody recognized him on a most wanted poster and they were able to catch him for like the bank issues, but they just saw him because he was being flashy and they were like, you were on a most wanted picture. So they went back to, they weren't able to link him to the Lover's Lane murder, but they were still kind of interested in him because they weren't able to find anything. So they went back to Akron, Ohio, and Marlene had told everyone she was really scared for her life because, of course,
what?
She was going to say that because if you remember, she still thinks he's a CIA agent. So that's why she went along with all of his things. Yeah.
What a dumb idiot. I'm sorry. Not to be rude, but like.
No, you're a dumb idiot.
You think that a CIA agent is going to be doing armed robberies and like
stealing money and fleeing?
What? For what reason?
Maybe he was so charming he was able to like.
Oh my God. Like, right? Sorry. Let's think here, you know?
Well, she figured out that was fake when he got charged to 15 years.
She finally figured it out?
Yeah.
Dang, Marlene.
And she went back to Portland where she was from and she was also pregnant with his child. But unfortunately, the child didn't make it and passed away.
Oh, God.
Yeah. And she divorced him, which.
Okay, fair. You know, yeah.
Marriage number two over. So during this time in prison, they really tried to reform him. And he actually said, oh my God, I'm so reformed right now. It's ridiculous.
You guys, I feel so reformed right now. I think you did it.
It's like the Zoolander.
I think it's a miracle.
Ed Edwards, I'm better now. So reformed now.
Oh my God. What?
We're on part two of this story. The get guards ready.
Are just like, yeah, we did do it. You are reformed. Did it.
Well, he said he felt reformed because one of the guards he really looked up to and he wanted to make him proud.
Oh my God.
So after a few years, he went to another prison in 1967 and then he was granted parole. So he didn't serve any of that 15 years, pretty much. Because this was like around the 60s, well, 61.
Was, he said it, you guys. He was like,
yeah, he's reformed.
Everyone, I am reformed.
Nobody lies about being reformed. That's stupid. Nobody lies about that.
It's true.
But he was literally in prison for 6 years. And he even went to a lower security prison. And, okay. He showed that he would get out of prison and do the same thing, but. Whatever.
Yeah, sure. He's done this only like 30 fucking times before, but okay, sure.
So his plan was to go work for a trucking company in Akron, Ohio. So it did seem like he was trying to clean up his act a little bit, like actually getting a job. But weeks after getting out of prison, he met Kaylin Headley and they became engaged 18? Immediately. Yeah.
She's 18.
This one, she was 21. I'll get into like their age gap. So he was pretty open with her about his criminal past, but he did tell her that he was definitely not going to commit crimes anymore. And he wanted to live with a clean record. And she agreed. Well, he was like, yeah, so I did
he's
this.
Like,
and
so she's like, I've been reformed.
I don't know if you know this, but I am reformed as fuck.
I know this, but I'm a good guy now.
I want to share this is reformed AF. So she was 21. He was 35. So there was like a 14-year difference between them and they got married in summer 1968. Wow. 1980 would not make him in his 30s, but yeah, 1968. He was 35, she was 21. He liked him young.
Yeah, he did.
So, again, he seemed like he was doing great and prison officials asked him if he would like to talk to high school students about turning their lives around and not going to prison. And they also asked him if he'd talk about like things that they could do better in prisons.
Well, okay, that's kind of valid.
He ended up having a knack for public speaking.
I bet he did.
And he became so good at it that in 1970, he ended up no longer doing trucking. And he was actually just kind of traveling around telling people's life stories.
What?
And how he was.
Is anyone who'd listen?
And how he was reformed.
Oh my God.
And in 1971... like 5-ish years after like he was super reformed and whatnot, he ended up appearing on like radio and just really talked about what's happening. Like he actually like had a big following of people who were like reformed man.
Oh, well, that's kind of a good thing. And
you're being optimistic. And I was very like,
no,
Yeah, I was
he's gonna fuck it up.
I'm gonna tell Danae about this, but I have no chill. And he showed that prison doesn't do anything to him.
Yeah.
But I'm not gonna spoil it. So he started an advocacy group called We Want to Help, which was just to help people like stay on the right path. And at that point, fun fact, they arrested somebody else for the Lover's Lane murder. Okay. So they were like, he's not involved.
Okay.
He was just an armed robber. He wasn't a murderer.
Huh.
So, do.
So he's trying to do good things, or at least like making it seem like he's trying to do good things.
Yeah. And they were like, okay, he's doing the right thing now. He didn't commit the murders. I think he's reformed. So he ended up writing a book about his life and how he turned it around called Metamorphosis of a Criminal. Those are currently online for $1,000.
What?
Yeah.
It can't be that good.
Oh, it's not. It's just, it's wild. Anyways, so it was a bestseller, and the events in the book did line up with like court records and everything. So it didn't seem like he was lying about like his time and like where he served and stuff like that.
Okay.
So if it didn't line up with court records, I'd be like, he's a lying liar. But they were like, oh, he's actually being honest in this book.
Actually tracks.
Yeah. And like it got rave reviews. People loved it, stuff like that. And just keep that in the back of your mind that this book got rave reviews and everyone. And like in the insert in the book, they're like, you're going to be rooting for him the whole time. I want you to remember this.
Okay.
I want you to remember that. I said that. And I'm going to go on another tangent, but that's like going to come back in a few minutes. So he ended up being on game shows as well. He was on one called What's My Line? And then he was on one called To Tell the Truth. Have you ever heard of this show?
Mm-mm.
Okay. So To Tell the Truth came back like in the early 2000s. I actually really enjoyed watching it. So what they do is they have usually celebrity judges, but they have three people come on and they're like, my name is Danae Marshall and I'm a mom. And then the other person says, I'm Danae Marshall and I'm a mom. And then a third person says, I'm Danae Marshall and I'm a mom.
So you have to choose who the liar is?
Yes. And they ask them questions.
Okay.
And if they pick somebody, because they're each able to pick somebody. And if like you pick somebody that wasn't actually that person, the person gets money for being so convincing. So
okay.
It's basically, and they're like, you know, it's I'm Ed like Edwards and I was a former criminal.
So it's literally like, exactly what he needs in his life. He's like, yeah, I'm a great liar. Let me go on the show and win some money.
Yeah, exactly. It's, well, made for me. He's the actual guy. So like, okay, there's people pretending to be him. They're like, I'm Edwards and I'm a reformed criminal.
Okay.
Kind of thing.
Yeah.
So don't know how that went, but To Tell the Truth, I remember, was one I actually like really enjoyed watching. I watched one where like it was like the number one feminist actually ended up being the male. And he was like, yeah, I'm a huge feminist. And I was like, I love that so much as a little kid. I was like, oh, men do care. Anyways, but he also put out an album. Singing, like an album that like he would talk, like do his public speaking.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And there were articles on Esquire about him.
Wow.
There was even a movie deal and he offered to play himself in the movie. Oh,
he just really loves
it. It never came to fruition. I know.
He like cannot get over himself.
Yeah. But yeah, luckily it didn't happen. But as things do, everything started slowing down. He wasn't like in the media as much. And they even stopped printing copies of his book because like people weren't, it wasn't a bestseller anymore. People weren't buying it as much. So that's also why.
That's like, why the price it's so much up. Money. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I'm sure he was like, no, no.
I love all this attention.
The spotlight, it's dimming. So at this point, dimming. He had five children and he was seen as like the ultimate family man. And just throughout this whole thing, they're like, oh, he loves his children. And he's still with like Kay. Kaylin Headley. They had five kids together and he was like,
wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it seemed great, right?
Yeah. Life seems like it's turned around for him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. So at this point, they packed up and went to Fairfield, Florida in 1977. And they left the town of Doylestown, Ohio. I think he was still moving around at this point, just not as much as he did previously.
Yeah.
But the timing was super interesting. because there was another Lover's Lane murder that had taken place in 1977, and they had both been shot in the head.
Uh-oh.
Weird timing.
I don't get it. Why is he killing lovers?
One of his daughters had said that it was really strange because they had moved 16 times before she had even graduated high school. To me, that's so excessive and rude to do to your kids. So they constantly have to move to new schools and try to make new friends.
Oh my God. That's so many?
That's so many. Times? Before you graduate high school, that's like at least once a year. If not, like...
That is crazy.
Yeah. So at one point, they moved to Wisconsin, and Ed was working as a handyman at like a dance hall restaurant. And there was a couple that was seen leaving the dance hall together after a wedding, and they ended up going missing.
Oh, God.
And they just were not seen. And Mr. Super Reformed had a bloody nose the next day. Not said if it was broken or it was just super bloody, but his nose was pretty messed up. And he was like, I went deer hunting and...
What?
I got hit in the face with the gun. Face, like, yeah. What? But after that, the couple was found in a cornfield with gunshot wounds. And then...
What's his deal?
Ed Edwards and his family moved again.
Huh.
Right after that. So, in 1982, they were living in a house in Pennsylvania, and the house went up in flames. And right after that happened, they ended up moving to Georgia. And authorities investigated it, and they were like, this was super set on purpose, and furniture was moved out of the house. And he was sent back to Pennsylvania and was charged with arson.
Wow.
Yeah. And they, I don't know if the family was moving around, but when he got out of jail after 2 years, they moved to Burton, Ohio. So I'm wondering if the family just was living in Pennsylvania while he was serving time.
Yeah.
But it doesn't clarify that.
And then he's like, let's move again.
Yeah.
Like,
hey, guys.
Damn it, Dad.
So, Dad, I'm sick of this.
Just made friends.
I just made friends and I was asked to the school dance. So he tried to call the police and tell them that he was a changed man and that they needed to believe him. That he's like
read my book.
He's like, I might have committed the arson, but I didn't mean it. And then he was like, wanted to write a sequel to his book.
It's literally the point of arson is that you meant it.
Yeah. It was a slip up, but he wanted to write a sequel to Metamorphosis of a Criminal.
And he wanted to
add a part two of like, because he wrote it to that point, like when he got out of prison for the like longer sentence that was only 6 years, and he wanted to write a sequel of what had happened since then. He wanted to talk about all the famous prisoners he's
met.
Literally
no one cares.
And I'm like, baby girl, that's not a good look for you.
No one cares, dude.
Yeah, it's not a good look when you're like, I want to write about the famous people I've met. Like, yeah. No, stop.
Let me just name drop. Like, what?
So I don't know exactly how this happened, but there was a army guy who didn't really have a family, and they decided to kind of be his surrogate family in the area. Because sometimes that happened, like...
like he'd stay with them kind of thing?
Like, some of the Air Force guys, I know this, they have, like, a family that, like, it's a Colorado Springs family that they sign up for. And sometimes they go spend the holidays with them if they can't go home.
Oh, okay.
So I'm wondering if it was something kind of like that.
That.
Yeah. And this guy was, his name, they called him Danny Boy. And he was a foster child in his youth, but he really didn't have like a strong family connection. So he was like not a minor, but he would spend a lot of time with that family. And he like got really close with the family. And he actually like looked at Ed and Kay as like his parents. He even like would call mom and dad because he had never really had a strong family connection. And at the age of 24, he actually petitioned to change his name to Edwards because he felt so close to them.
Wow.
So he was like Danny Boy Edwards.
He
was called Danny Boy. Okay. That was like his, like everyone called him Danny Boy.
Okay.
I don't know if his legal name was Danny Boy Edwards.
That was his nickname, Danny Boy. Okay.
But yeah, he was like Danny Boy Edwards. And yeah, he called them like mom and dad. And he was just a veteran. And in 1966, he went missing.
Oh my God.
What? Excuse me. 1996. He went missing.
Dude, no.
And his body was found a few months later in a shallow grave by a hunter. And it was close to a property that Ed would sometimes stay at in his youth.
Oh, no. Why you killed Danny Boy?
We'll get into that. Because maybe he did, but maybe he didn't.
Oh, no.
So pretty much all they did was just move around after that time, which is strange in and of itself. But at one point, his daughter April was like, none of this is normal.
Yeah.
She's like, we're constantly moving around.
Yeah, this, and it's not even like for a good reason. It's just like he's like deciding to up and go. You know, like you can't help it if you're like an army brat and you're constantly moving. But like,
yeah,
he's just like, anyways, we should leave. Bye. Like, it's weird.
Yeah. So if you remember in this story, we've had two lovers lane and then one couple leaving a dance hall.
Yeah.
So April read about one of those, about one of the double murders. And she was like, that sounds really familiar. And she knew that they lived in that area at the time.
Oh, God. Oh, no.
And she was like, my dad had to have been involved. Like, none of my childhood made sense. He constantly made us move around. And she actually even called in a tip because she's like, I bet my dad was a killer. Because, like, she would see him behind closed doors being this great family man. Uh-huh. You can't tell me the guy was calm. And remember what I told you earlier. Keep that in your mind.
He has no chill.
So, yeah, just weird murders would happen. And then suddenly they'd be moving somewhere else. And she just was, like, starting to put the pieces together because she was older. So, just a side note, when he would do the Lover's Lane murders, he would sexually assault the females. And at the murder that happened in Wisconsin, they actually had a sample of the semen, and April called in a tip and was like, I think my dad was involved in that.
Oh, shit.
And guess what? They did a warrant, and the DNA sample
match
of, yeah, the young female in Wisconsin matched.
Whoa. Whoa, April.
Yeah.
Detective work.
Yeah. I mean, that would be really hard to, like, kind of turn in your parent. Whether or not you have a good relationship, you'd kind of be like, oh. So he ended up pleading not guilty, but he ended up admitting to the Lover's Lane murder that happened in Ohio.
Okay.
So this was the Wisconsin one that they linked
that they had the DNA match
for? Yeah, and he's so like, I didn't do it.
I didn't do that one, but I did do one in Ohio.
Like, yeah, sir, and it's like, are you what? Stupid? Like, he wasn't even linked to that one either.
Like, be for real.
He wasn't linked to it at all.
He's just, like, incriminating himself.
Yeah, it was so weird.
Oh, my God.
But he did this guy because he wanted to be convicted in a state where they had the death penalty, because he's like, well, if I'm going to go to prison. Yeah.
Wow.
He didn't realize that in Ohio they didn't have the death penalty, so he'd be sentenced to life in prison. And you know what? At this point, I think we can admit all his public speaking and his reform and his book were all fucking bullshit.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
He literally was committing murders while he was, like, on the road speaking to, like,
being a hypocrite.
Yeah. And they,
I'm so healed and fixed. Meanwhile, he's murdering people.
So remember how Metamorphosis of a Criminal got rave reviews and people were like, this is great.
Yeah.
Told you to remember this part. The FBI was like, maybe we should look into this book. Maybe we should read it.
Totally.
Yeah.
There's probably a whole bunch of information they
There was need. So much talk about domestic violence and everyone just ignored that part.
Everyone's like, that's normal.
So, like, they're like, you're going to root for him. But he literally talked about how he would beat his wives and stuff. He's like, sometimes they just didn't listen. And it was just like,
what?
And they're like, did people actually read this book? Why did it get rave reviews? And he literally talked about how he would beat his wives and stuff like that.
Whoa. So men like this book? Or
yeah, so they were like, okay. They even, like, were like, oh, well, the Lover's Lane murders, he showed that he's violent. They just were like, it's a lot of circumstantial evidence, but yeah,
but let's convict him. But it's all there in print.
Yeah.
From his own mouth.
Like, yeah.
This is his account of his life.
So then he was really wanting the death penalty, so he admitted to the murder of Danny Boy Edwards.
Why did he kill Danny Boy?
Why do people kill other people?
I don't know, but, like, that one seems...
Think, what is a big reason we talk about?
Money.
Life insurance.
Greed. Oh.
What? Yeah, so he took out a life insurance policy on
After
him.
This boy calls them, like, mom and dad, he's like, yeah, I'm just gonna go ahead and kill you. Like,
yeah, and collect your life insurance policy. Yep.
That's, like, oh, that's so messed up.
So, homeboy got what he wanted, and he was sentenced to lethal injection in August 31st, 2011.
Oh.
But he ended up dying a few months earlier because of natural causes. So he really did spend his life in prison.
Wow.
And what really bothered investigators was that he took so many secrets to his grave.
Yeah.
So those are the murders we know of.
But it's like, why is he killing the lovers, though? You know, like, okay, so Danny Boy, there's like a motive of the life insurance.
Yeah.
But is it literally just the sexual assault part? Like, he just wants to, like...
That's the part. That's why I was being weird, because I don't know if it was just the sexual assault he wanted to, because that's a control thing. People, sure. That's why criminals
but
do
why
that.
Would you, like, this is going to sound weird, but like, if you're trying to go for like an easy target, why are you going to go every time for a couple? Like, two people are harder to control than one, right? Like, why is it a couple every time?
But he has a gun.
Yeah.
So
it's just weird.
I get what you're saying, but like, when you have a gun,
yeah,
like if somebody were to come up to you and Steven in the car, you both would be like terrified if they had a gun, because it's like,
yeah,
yeah,
it just is so weird.
I've never heard of this man.
Yeah,
I've never heard of the story, and I was just like, and I know it is convoluted, but it is so hard. It's a hard story because they moved around all the time. It was hard to, like, nail down where he was.
Well, and he did that intentionally, mm-hmm. like, so that he wouldn't be in a place too long, in long enough to be, like, people start asking questions or they're recognizing him from the most wanted list.
Yeah, and keep in mind, like, how much of his 20s, like, I did skip over. It's, I'm sure he was committing crimes then.
Oh, for sure.
And you can't tell me. Yeah. So who really knows everything he did?
That's crazy.
But I'm really glad that his daughter, he wouldn't have been caught for those if his daughter wasn't like, that's weird. We lived in that area. Yeah. Like, my dad, you can't tell me he wasn't a Looney Tune too. Mm-hmm. Cause if he abused his wives, that's another thing, is like, he acted reformed, but behind closed doors, he was like abusing his wives. And like, I'm sure his daughter saw a side of him that was like, you know what? My dad, I could see him doing this.
Yeah. Like, he's capable of this.
But I just think it's crazy that it's like, you're going to root for him. And then he adds that in his book. It's like, what the fuck?
That's insane.
But yeah, that story is like all over the place.
Yeah, he was keeping busy with his crimes.
Yeah, what a stupid fucking name.
Ed Edwards.
I like how you're like, why would you do that to your kid? I'm like, no, he did that to himself.
He chose that. Like, which is also like, you're going to remember that.
His
too.
Initials are you. Edward. Oh, yeah. Wayne Edwards. So, yeah, that one's crazy. I will put pictures of him up, and I'll put a bunch of different pictures, because, like, there's sometimes when you look and you're like, okay, I could see why he got away with that. And then other ones, you're like, gross. But I think that's what helped him. When you're attractive.
Oh, yeah. You get away with so much more.
Yeah. That's why, like, I don't think he was attractive, but everyone's like, Ted Bundy did this, and this. And oh, it's yeah. like, well, he was better looking.
Well,
than, like,
the combination of attractive and charming, like, people love that.
Oh, yeah. They'll
believe
yeah.
anything you say.
Yeah. I'm not going to go to a van with a creepy old dude. I would go with a good looking.
Are there puppies?
Strapping blonde. Yeah.
What about Candy?
Have you seen the videos of people who are like, if somebody says they have a puppy, what do you say? And the little kid's like, I say yes.
Yeah.
Like, they're like, no.
No, you say no.
You say no. They're trying to trick you.
Yeah, those are funny.
But yeah, we'll post pictures on our Instagram. We're gonna be Mysterious Mavens Pod just on Instagram.
If you have any stories or suggestions or self-care tips, email us at mysteriousmavenspod@gmail.com.
really anything, unless you're gonna like say mean things, then like back off. Please rate us. That helps us out. Give us ratings. If you don't do 5 stars, don't do it. But please rate us on Apple, Spotify, whatever you use. That's like how we get the word out about us. We also have a Facebook and a TikTok, and we'll start updating on that. We have some ideas for potentially our TikTok.
Yes.
I'm not going to say more than that. We just have ideas. You guys will figure it out. We're not going to tell you. It's our secret, not yours. But yeah. We hope you keep listening and enjoy your holiday season. We'll be doing that around here. So
yeah. Right. Well, until next time, friends, self-care yourself.
All right.
Okay, bye.
Bye.